The Lord is speaking to us this morning. Before I get into the message, I thank Danny for the kind words that he's had, but you're my family. And my wife and I, we love all of you dearly. And we're going to claim you on our income tax. But we love you and we love this church. And on behalf of Pastor Wes and Pastor Eric, myself, the pastoral staff, we do want you to have a blessed new year, one that will be fruitful, one that will be prosperous, one that will be uplifting, one that will be drawing you closer to the Lord. And that's the messages that we have had this morning. Calling on Him, getting closer to Him, seeking Him while He's can be found. And thank you for those messages. As you know, January is the first month of the year. It's coming around very fast. In fact, just a few days. It'll be 2025. We begin our annual 21-day fast on the 5th, which is the first Sunday, at midnight that night. You can look at it this way. You begin to fast at midnight on Sunday night, or you begin to fast at 1 on Monday morning. And that's 1 second or 1 minute or whatever. But the fast begins 21 days. We have prepared a booklet here, a fasting manual that's available to you to help you to understand what fasting is all about, to help you with your fast. And these are available when you leave this morning out in the foyer. Our greeters will have one. If you want one, just ask them for that and they'll be glad to give it to you. There's different kinds of fasts that it talks about in here. It talks about a partial fast, a Daniel fast. It talks about an absolute fast. Absolutes where you don't eat anything for 21 days. You just drink fluids. But it will explain all that to you, and you just need to ask God what fast that does He want you to partake in. It tells you about if you have health issues, you clear it with your doctor that, or fast around what you need to fast for your health. But we've begun this several years ago. And it begins our new year right, seeking God and asking God, what does He want out of us, out of me, out of you in the upcoming year? And to seek God for those things that you need in your life. And so that's for the fast. You can get one of those booklets. If you have your Bibles, you turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. That's where I'll be taking my text, is out of 2 Peter chapter 3. As you realize, I'm not Pastor Wes. You've got the second or third string quarterback today. But I will tell you this. I do have the anointed mic. I've got Pastor Wes's mic. Mine's not working very well. If you just follow with me, I want to speak to you today on the thought, what should you be? As we enter into the new year, what should you be? So follow with me along the beginning with chapter 1. It's on the screen there. It says, "Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for the haste and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. You know, the word last is used in many different ways. It can mean that was before the present. For example, last week was before this week. It can also mean something that's conclusive. I remember when I, as a child, a teen growing up, my dad had remarried my stepmother, and she would make dinner for us. And I'm a meat eater. My dad, all of us were meat eaters in my family. And we had one rule that she gave us, is that you were not to eat the last piece of chicken. You know, fried chicken. That's the only way you can cook chicken, isn't it? Fried. And so I found out that the reason she didn't want us, anybody, to eat that last piece, she said it was bad manners, but I found out that she wanted to eat that last piece when she was cleaning up. You don't like to be last. You don't like to go into the pantry thinking that you got one last Oreo cookie left and you find out somebody ate the last cookie. You don't like that. When I was a kid in school and they were choosing up teams to play ball, I was usually the last one chosen. I was cross-eyed. I was just a little wimp of a kid. I wasn't very coordinated. And everyone else got chosen before me. I was the last one to be chosen. But it also can mean the final stages of something. We are approaching a new year, and we are in the final stages of this year. You have lost... you have those last days before you retire. I spoke with someone just this last week who was retired at the end of this year, and he's counting his days until he reaches that retirement day and he won't have to go into work anymore. And I asked his wife, what are you going to do if he's home all the time now that he's not working? She said, probably go crazy. But we look forward to that last day that we can retire. Our children, the students who are in school this week, they were getting ready for the last days of school before Christmas break. And then there are the last days of this life. As we grow into our twilight years, we become concerned with wills and health and finances and the final days of our life here. We realize that there is finality to life and hopefully make preparations for the last days of our life. I have found that now that I'm a senior, I'm proud to admit that I'm a senior. I'm not like Brother Wes. He likes to sneak into it, but I'm proud that I'm a senior. In fact, when I turned 55, I started asking Hardee's in different places, do you have a senior discount? Because I wanted to get my due. But I found that since I've become a senior, I get all of these solicitations to prepare for my final expenses, to prepare for my burial. I get the solicitations to you need to make a will, or you need to make a trust for what you leave behind will go to some charity or some organization. And you begin to be hit with all of these things. You need this life insurance that will cover your burial. And they try to, I have found out that since I've got older, there are a lot more people concerned about my last days than I am. But the Word of God speaks to the last days or the end times. The prophets like Isaiah, Daniel, and Michael, among others, prophesied about the last days. Isaiah prophesied that in the last days the temple of God will be restored on the mountain of God. Brother Bobby was teaching us about what's keeping that temple being built right now that would show us that we are at the end times, that God is coming back, that Christ is coming back to set up His kingdom. We have been taught that. The last few chapters of Isaiah about the last days when Jesus comes back to earth to set up His kingdom rule. And Daniel's prophecy was about the end times in Daniel chapter 8. Micah's prophecy was very similar to Isaiah's. In the last days, the Lord will reign over all the nations from Mount Zion from now on and forever. And we will walk in the name of our Lord, our God, forever and ever. When we look in the New Testament, Jesus spoke often of the last days. In John 6, verse 40, He said this, "And this is the will of Him," talking about God, "who sent Me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life." And then He says this, "And I will raise him up at the last day." Matthew 24, the disciples come to Jesus and said, "Lord, tell us, what are the signs of the last days? What are the signs of the end?" And this is what he began to say. He said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." You see, we're living in a day that is a time of deception. We have been deceived. We've been deceived by the Republicans. We've been deceived by the Democrats. We've been deceived by our congressional leaders. We've been deceived by this and the media and so forth and so on. We're living in a time of deception. And he said, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. You will see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." It's not yet, but we're in those last days that are coming to the end. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. You read just about every day of some kind of natural disaster that happens. Tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, famines, pestilences, all these things that are going on in our world today. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for My name's sake. I want to tell you this morning that we are being hated around the world. Christians are being persecuted and put to death. And it's coming to America. It's getting more and more to where we are considered less than what we are. We're considered terrorists, or we're considered those that are the cause of the problems in our nation today. We're looked down upon. We're being persecuted, not in the through death, and as some are in some nations, but it's coming. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow old. This will be happening in the last days, as Jesus predicted. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell on the 120 in the upper room, he preached to a crowd of thousands the first Pentecostal message. And in verse 17 and 18, he's quoting the prophet Joel. He said, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out My Spirit on all flesh." I want to tell you, we're in a spiritual awakening. God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. All those that call upon Him will be saved. All those that seek Him will find Him. And He will pour out His Spirit in the last days. We are living in that time. And He said that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on My men servants and My maid servants I'll pour out My Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Paul was concerned about the last days. He speaks to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 15, 22. He says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at His coming." Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God to the kingdom to God the Father, and he puts an end to all rule and all authority. Paul wrote to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I know you've heard this before, but he said, I want you to know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Church, we're living in perilous times. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying its power. This is happening in our world today. I can't understand about the man that killed the CEO of the insurance company, and how he's getting so much support from people that are supporting him and want him to be set free. I don't understand it. He killed a man, murdered him in cold blood. And he's getting people that are supporting him. This is the day and age that we're living in. I don't understand how you can get on a subway, go to get on a subway and someone sets you on fire and burns you, and people just stand there and watch and film it, but they do nothing to help the poor woman that died. This is the world that we're living in, church. And this is what Paul said. Now, Peter, in writing his first and second letters, he's concerned to those Christians who fled Israel from Roman persecution and the dispersion of Christians to the Gentile countries that he listed, Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. His current concern was for all the scattered Christians who were a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. They were facing persecution in these nations for their faith in Jesus Christ. And Peter called them the elect of God. I want to tell you, we are like those that have been scattered. This is not our home. This is not our home. Our home, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. And we need to understand that this is not our home. And we need to understand that the things that are happening are happening, and it's hard for us to see it when we look through our natural eyes, but when we begin to look with our spiritual eyes and look into the Word of God, we begin to see that what God is doing is preparing that something going to take us to something that's a lot better than what we've been here. He's preparing a place for us in heaven, a new heaven, a new earth. It's going to be better. It's going to be better. He describes the hardships of this group of the exiled Christians in 1 Peter verse 6. He said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We need to focus on what the goal is. So when we see Jesus back, come back in the clouds, that's going to complete our salvation, because the Bible says that the dead in Christ will rise first, and that we that are alive and remain be called to be with him in the air, and there will be with him forevermore. That's our focus. It's not what's going on around us. It's not the circumstances. It's not the persecution. It's not the hate and all that we see and all that we experience, church. We need to realize that this is not our home. This is we don't need to take roots here. We need to realize that one day we're going to be called away if we stay faithful. In 1 Peter, in his letter there, he was dealing with problems from the outside, the world. In 2 Peter, he has to deal with problems from within the church. Peter writes to warn the believers of false teachers who are peddling damaging doctrine. In 2 Peter chapter 2, he said, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And Peter was not the only one that saw that. There was Jude, the half-brother of Jesus. He said that these apostate brethren, that they're ungodly men who turn the grace of God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. He said they are clouds without water, carried about by winds. Peter called them whales without water, clouds carried by tempests. They had once had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, but now they have entangled in the things of the world and have been overcome by the worldly influences. And Peter wants to warn the believers of the false teachers and to remind them of three truths that I want to share with you this morning. And this is the heart of my message. Three truths that I want to share with you this morning. First of all, scoffers will come. Scoffers will come in the last days. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from beginning of creation." One thing that I am concerned about is us beginning to put our focus on the world and not our focus on Him. I don't want us to be here like these scoffers that Peter talked about. Peter defined them. He said, first they walk in the flesh. They're very carnal. They despise authority and are presumptuous and self-willed. Paul said this, and Pastor West shared this with us last week, that those who walk in the flesh cannot please God. We've got to make sure that we're not walking in the flesh, but they're walking in the Spirit. I'm afraid sometimes we get satisfied and we get to thinking everything's all right when really it's not. Because we're walking in the flesh. And as long as we feel like we're being satisfied and we're getting something, that everything's all right. But it may not be. We need to walk in the Spirit. But he said they walk in the flesh. They speak great swelling words of emptiness and promise liberty, while they themselves are slaves to their own sins. They speak evil of things that they do not understand. Jude said this. He said that they are grumblers and complainers, walking in their own lust. They mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage, but they are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit of God. They are markers of God in the Word of God. And as Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Church, it's time for us to sit up. And to take inventory. Are we mocking God because we're not where we should be? Are we not doing what we should be doing? When we entered this new year, I've always said you need to stop and take inventory about this year. What have you done for the Lord? Have you grown closer to Him? Have you gained more knowledge of Him? Or are we beginning to just go through the motions? I go to church because that's what I do on Sunday. I go to church because I like to hear the music. I go to church because I like the fellowship. I go to church because of the special singing. We need to take an inventory. Because what the Lord is looking at is the results. Have you won anybody into the kingdom of God in 2024? Have you shared the gospel with someone? And has your life reflected the life of a Christian, of a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you an imitator of him? They walked in the flesh. They willfully forgot the word of God. They have forgotten the words of the prophets. They have forgotten the words of the apostles and the words of the Lord concerning the last days. The scoffers are those who question the word of God. You know, Satan mocked God in Genesis chapter 3 when he called God a liar. When he told Adam and Eve that God may have said that you won't die, but that you're going to die, but you won't die if you eat of that fruit. And the psalmist said that mockers are they that say, how does God know? Is there any knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are ungodly. Have you thought about that? If you question God, why don't you do it this way? God, what are you doing? God, do you know what you're doing? Sometimes our actions and sometimes our thoughts are just that lame. We have to be careful that we do not mock God. We do not mock his word. According to Proverbs 14 and 6, scoffers seek wisdom and do not find it, but knowledge is easy to him who understands. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. Peter is warning us to beware of scoffers in the church. And we've always had scoffers out in the world, but in the church. There's many examples in the Word of God. I'm not going to share all of them with you, but Pharaoh mocked God when Moses came and said, set my people free. And he says, I don't know your God, and I'm not letting them go. And Jeremiah was mocked when people said, where is the Word of God? And they were upset that he would never prophesy any good for the king. The people of Israel mocked Moses in the wilderness, and they said, what did you do, bring us out here in this desert to die? It would have been better for us to stay in Israel. And Jesus was mocked when he was brought before the high priest. Matthew 26 tells us that they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hand and saying, prophesy to us, Christ. Who is the one who struck you? The Roman soldiers mocked Jesus before they crucified him. They twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed their knee before him and mocked him and said, hail, King of the Jews. It says they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off and put on his own clothes and led him away to be crucified. The Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary there ever was mocked when at Athens, when they called him a babbler and a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached Jesus and the resurrection. Before King Agrippa, Festus, the Roman governor, told Paul that he was a madman because of his testimony of salvation. I'm telling you this morning, there are scoffers on the outside who mock and deride us. There's scoffers on the inside. But we are being called to beware of those in our midst and do not be deceived by them. And the second thing that I want to share with you, that Peter was sharing with us, is the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. 2 Peter 3, 8 and 10. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. One of the things that's hard for us to understand is that God is not restrained by time. We want everything instantly, right now. God's not restrained by time. Dr. David Jeremiah said this, God is in our yesterday. God is in our today. And God is in our tomorrow. He's already there. We understand that there's a beginning. In the beginning, God created. We read Genesis 22, there's an end coming to this world. But God, there's no beginning. There's no end. He is eternity. And he's not constrained by time. We travel through life by seasons and years. We have no power to stop time, and we can't fathom eternity. But God has not restrained. Psalms 92:4 says this, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it has passed, and like a watch in the night. Isaiah 57 says, thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Revelations 1 and 8, this is Jesus speaking to us in Revelations. He says, I am the Alpha, the beginning. I am Omega, the end, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was, who is to come, the Almighty. I tell you, God's not restrained. But I want you to understand, God is long-suffering towards us. That's why all these things have not happened yet, because of God's long-suffering towards us. He's not slack that. It's His desire that everyone come to repentance. That's what He wants us to do. Isaiah 30:18 says, therefore the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you, and therefore He will be exalted that He may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait on Him. Ezekiel 33:11, the Lord says, say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? But yet your countrymen say, the way of the Lord is not just, but it is their way that is not just. We can't blame God because we're lost. We're lost because we're not seeking God and we're not calling upon God. Because He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 2:4. Paul asked this question, why do you despise the riches of His goodness, His forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? That's why it's not happened, Brother Dick. It's going to happen. But God's heart is to save the lost. Jesus said, that's why I came. Not to condemn the world, not to judge the world. I came to save the world. So we don't need to look, and just like the scoffer said, that everything keeps going on like it did. You get up in the morning, the sun comes out, and time keeps going, and then it just cycles and cycles and cycles and cycles. And don't get like the scoffers where you begin to say, I just don't believe that it's going to happen. I just don't believe it's true. It's got some kind of meaning, but it's not a real thing that's going to happen. I don't want us to get into that kind of mind frame, because it is going to happen. Because this is what I want you to know. The day of the Lord is coming. And that's what Peter said here. But the day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. It's going to happen. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 24, at that time the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with great power and great glory. And He will send His angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather their elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Jesus went on to say in verse 42 of Matthew 24, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. Let me say that again. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming an hour you do not expect. Then Paul wrote in Thessalonians 5, he said, and concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Church, it's going to happen. The Lord is coming. There is going to be a rapture. The dead in Christ are going to rise. Those that are alive and remain be caught up to be in the air. And as Paul wrote in Corinthians, it's going to be in a moment and twinkling an eye, we're going to be changed. It's going to happen. And we can look at Jesus Christ when he rose from the grave and he was in his glorified body. We can see that it's going to happen because he was the first fruits that went and died and rose again and ascended to the Father. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. It's going to happen. It's coming. It could be any day as a thief in the night. We don't know. I've just read about all the football players, the professional football players, in the last few weeks, that while they were playing the football game, somebody broke into their house and stole a bunch of stuff out of their house. If they'd known that the thief was coming, they might have made better provision where that wouldn't happen. We've got to realize that he's coming. And so it comes to that question that he said here in verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. What manner of persons should we be? How ought we be, knowing that these things are going to happen, and they can happen any time as a thief in the night? You see, Paul is warning us, it's going to happen. You've got time to prepare. You've got time to prepare. In 1 Peter, he began to approach this question with saying this. He said, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. In other words, prepare your minds for action. Be sober. Be in self-control and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, okay, that's one. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy as I am holy. Live a holy life. Obey the truth, 1 Peter 1 and 22. Obey the truth. So when we begin to look through this thing, what are we supposed to do? Trust and obey, as the song says. We need to trust God that his word is true, that it's infallible, it's inerrant, that it's going to happen as he said. But we also need to obey him, prepare ourselves by obedience to the word that abides forever. In 1 Peter 2 and 11, he says this, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. By your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation, for this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Church, it's very simple that he put here. We've got to live a holy and a godly life. But we also, let me read you one more scripture on that. It's Titus 2. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying godliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. It's put before us. It's put before us. We cannot neglect it. Secondly, we need to live in expectancy of a new heaven and a new earth. We need to change our focus. Acts 1, 9 through 11, Jesus is being, he's ascending up to heaven, and angels standing there and telling those disciples and those that are watching, he said, why are you gazing? He said, this same Jesus that has gone is coming back in like manner. He is coming back. The angels proclaimed it. Titus 2 and 13 tells us to be looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we look in Revelations chapter 21. We realize that this is what that the Lord is speaking through John the Revelator. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. So we need to live in that expectancy that he's coming. He could come today. Are you ready today? I had a pastor one time that he said, you got to be paid up, prayed up, and ready to go. And that's where we need to be today. Are you ready to go? Do you know today that if you were to die, that you would go to heaven? Or if the Lord was to split the eastern sky in the clouds and the rapture take place, would you go? Now's the time to prepare. Now's the time to prepare. And then the third thing is we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge. You know, that's what Peter talked about, these false prophets, that they speak things that they do not understand. We've got the Word, and we've got the Holy Spirit. And if you read something in the Word, read it over again. And ask the Holy Spirit, give you the understanding, and He will do it. He come to guide us into all truth. We need to be in the Word of God that we can gain this knowledge. In 2 Peter 1, verse 2, it says, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Jesus Christ. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. In 2 Peter 3, he says, I've written both of them, talking about his letters that in the beginning of our text, as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commands given by our Lord and Savior and through His apostles. And then 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory forever and ever. And so I want to close this morning with these words. Peter's warning in verse 17 of chapter 3 is just this. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. Paul warned us to take heed lest we fall in the same condemnation. Being led away with the error of the wicked. Billy Graham said this. He said, none of us knows how much time we'll have. But even if God gives us a long life, by most standards, our time here is still brief. In the words of the psalmist, each man's life is but a breath. Don't waste your life on things that have no eternal value. Draw closer to Christ and make each day count for Him. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 47, He said, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him. This is what we're going to be judged by. I had an accident a couple years ago, and I had to go to traffic school. And they had all this material that I had to read and study. And that's what they were going to judge me by, how well I knew that material. Because then I had to take a test at the end, and if I didn't score so many points, then they still wouldn't let me have my license or whatever. Or I'd have to go through it again or get points added to my insurance. But I studied that. I read every bit of it. Not once, but two or three times. I'm one of those, when I went to school, I wanted to make a good grade. And I studied. I studied. And I think my children are like that, Becky and Stephanie. And I don't know about Charlie. Charlie is studious. But I aced the thing because I had studied. But if I hadn't studied, I might not have. This is what we're going to be judged by, is this word. That's why we need to get into this word. In 2025, we need to be in the word. We have the word for the day that we give out every quarter for you to take. It's got devotions in it. At the end of the book, it's got daily Bible readings that take you through the word in a year. There's daily Bible calendars. We usually had them, but this year they don't make them anymore. So from the company that we were getting them from, so we didn't get them. But we need to be in the word. We need to be in the word. I mean, it's just like baking a cake, and if you leave something out, it's not gonna make it. But if you follow the recipe, it's gonna be good. You know, I want to thank you for those that made good cakes and cookies. It helped develop my waist. I appreciate that. You know, but I'm just trying to tell you, we need to get in the Word. But also, I want to tell you what Paul said. He said, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or I have already reached perfection. None of us have reached perfection. But that's not an excuse for us not to try to reach perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ has first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. What lies ahead? A new heaven, a new earth, a new life, an eternal life. What lies ahead? And looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ Jesus, is calling us. And then Paul said this, we must hold on to the progress we've already made. You know, we might have taken a few steps back during this year, but His mercies are due every morning. In 2025, we need to step forward and keep taking steps. Some may have to take baby steps. Some can take big steps. But that's where we need to. We need to strive together for the high calling. Get in His Word, strive together, and let us, we go back. So therefore, this is what Peter is saying. Therefore, what kind of people should we be since we know this is going to happen? And that's what I want to leave with you this morning. Praise the Lord for the rain. I was a mocker this morning. I mocked the Weather Channel. I said, they said it was going to rain, and when the sun came out at my house, I said, they lied again. But they didn't. It rained. God loves you. God loves me. Oh, how He loves you and me. Would you stand with me? Precious Father, we do thank You for the words of Peter, the warning about scoffers, and warning us not to become one of them. God, but we are those people that are striving to live a godly and holy life before You. God, we may stumble, we may fall, but God, we just keep on practicing and allowing the Spirit to do the work in us. Allowing the Word of God to change us and direct us. God, Lord, just help us. We're thankful, Lord, that we don't have to do it all in our power, but we've got the Holy Ghost to guide us and to lead us and empower us. And God, I pray, Lord, open our minds to Your Word. God, Lord, we've got so many voices and so many distractions in this world. God, everywhere you go, there's people on their cell phones and they're sitting at the restaurant eating together and they're not talking. They're each reading, they're playing games or whatever on their cell phone. God, we've got so many distractions that keep us from getting where we need to be, and that's to be in Your Word. Because I don't think Sirius can tell you how to get to heaven. But we know the Word of God can, Lord. And so open your word to our hearts. God, give us a hunger and a thirst, God, for your word. And God, let us walk. Let us gain the knowledge. Lord, we're striving. Lord, we're looking, God, for your appearing. And God, we're into your word, getting knowledge, helping us to live this life in a sinful world. Give us that strength, that grace, and that power, God, in 2025, God, to make a difference. Make a difference in our families. Make a difference in ourselves. Make a difference in the church, in the body. And God, to make a difference in the world. Lord, that someone, Lord, that we can lead someone to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Lord, we love you and we praise you. God, there's no greater wisdom than your wisdom we need. And Lord, no greater love than the love you have for us do we need. And no greater power can we possess than the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, let that be evident in our walk from henceforth until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.